Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
My minions. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Hope all my minions are doing well today, and all my new minions, welcome aboard to The Balance. You have stumbled across the number one internet radio sports talk show here on Blog Talk Radio across the United States, as well as our beloved affiliates. It's so glad to have you along. It's Saturday morning. You know, it's good to get back in the groove of things. The last couple of shows just kind of been crazy. Last week, I had some things going on, and just you getting in the groove, and then you just get out of the groove. So glad that you can join us today, guys. This is gonna be a fun show. Well, of course, every show is fun when you're a minion of The Balance. And, you know, you just can't help but have fun on a Saturday morning. We really here at The Balance, we go the extra mile to give you all of your sports. We give you that full balance of daily allotted sports. Guys, if you want to join in any of our conversations, 917-889-8516, and we'll be glad to take your call. The first hour, as always, going to be racing with our guys from RadioSpeedTalk.com. Talk some IndyCar, some NASCAR, some motorsports. If it's about racing, we're going to talk about it in the first hour. You can bet your bottom britches. Going to be a fun show. And then hour number two, we're going to be talking baseball, MLB, obviously cards, Cubs, Reds, really whatever team that you want to talk about. We'll throw in some conversation about that. And then the bottom of the last segment of the show today, we'll be talking about some NFL draft. That's right, boys and girls. Next weekend, the draft. Woo, boy, we've been talking about this for a minute. I tell you, what are your thoughts? Andrew Luck, going to be a Colt. No surprises there. I know. I am just surprised that I thought for sure I'd get a lot more tweets and told you so. You know, hey man, you said all along RG3, but who's smiling now, man? Well, you know what? I still believe that R.G. Griffin the third was the best for the Colts. But, you know, as I've had conversations with other people this week, you know, the thing is, and it's been said on other radio shows, here's the thing, guys. I think Jim Irsay, or those close to him, Jimmy Irsay, you call a professional football team owner Jimmy. I don't know. There's just something wrong about that. Jimmy Irsay. That's what Philip B. likes to call him. Good friend of the show. Anyway, I digress. I understand that. But, you know, here's the thing. I think Jim Irsay actually had his mind made up a long time ago when we were 11 and down and 0-11 or whatever that. Man, boy, that's a season we just want to forget. But I just think a long time ago when the decision was made internally with Jim Irsay that he wasn't going to bring back Peyton Manning. Whenever that moment was that he wasn't going to bring back Peyton Manning, I feel like that's when the decision that Jim Irsay said, guys, we're gonna bring in Luck. You know, we're going to try to build around Luck, but Luck's our guy. Once they knew that they were going to have that number one pick, and, well, maybe not right away that they knew they had, but here's the thing. Luck is Luck. I'm sure it was a tough call. I'm sure it was a tough call for Jim Irsay to make that decision. But I just think, you know, RG3 was the best decision for the Colts. And why Irsay did it, only he knows. Obviously, I just, you know, I want to blame the media, the mainstream media. You know, I joke all the time here on the show that I'm the Rush Limbaugh sports. So, you know, Rush doesn't like the mainstream media. I don't like the mainstream media either. I mean, they're great to watch. I mean, I like ESPN just as much as the next guy. But when they hype and hype and hype and hype and hype, I think that's the only way to go. I'm just saying, and I said it here on the show, that R.G. Griffin, to me, it just makes no sense in the way that you were going, you're showing people, hey, I'm... you know, we're rebuilding the team, but you're going to have more of the same. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is a franchise quarterback, probably a Hall of Famer. Going to be a great quarterback. But, you know, we had the same discussion back, you know, several years ago when Peyton Manning was drafted. Well, we will get into all of that in the last part of the show here. And Super Colts fan Brian Gents is going to join us. Also, Ed Kratz, Hawkins Media beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to talk about the draft, not only the first round draft pick of Luck and the Colts, but you know why they continue this discussion of why in the world they would pick Luck over RG3. But hey, we're going to have that discussion, and we certainly want your feedback. 917-889-8516. But we're going to be having to take a break. If we get back, though, guys, we're going racing. We're going to talk some racing. That's right. Our guys from RadioSpeedTalk.com join us every single Saturday morning right about this time to talk about racing, whether it's Kenny, Cliff, and today it's Pete LaFuscia of RadioSpeedTalk.com in the wings. We'll be right back, guys, and when we get back, we're going racing right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Come on, feel the noise.
From early morning till late into the night.
It's a whole new way of life.
24/7, the hits are non-stop.
Let's hear it.
WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Funny people in the world.
Tune in every week to hear Cliff, Kenny, and Pete.
Keep talking.
Right here. Gotta listen to all this. They're rotting my brain.
Where's this guy been?
All right. I thought we lost you. You cut out right there at the very end. You're right. this whole past week has just been racing overload and racing drool time. So you know what? We're going to run your show later on this afternoon here on the Balance Radio Network. But tell us a little bit about what's going on RadioSpeedTalk.com this week and what are some of the things that that you guys are covering out there on Radio Speed.
Well, this week we got an interview with Dennis Bickmeyer. He's the president of Richmond International Speedway, or as you'll find out in the interview, he came from Michigan that basically had two races in a wine fest, and he went to a place that was at what used to be the state fairgrounds, and now he says he's more like the president of the Richmond International Speedway in Virginia, Convention and Visitors Bureau. He's got to host gun shows and a million other things that he wasn't used to. And then there's other things, and a great, great trivia question that I would have never known, being a big fan, name the one state that has four races, cup races in it every year, and that's Virginia. I didn't know that. So I would have thought it was North Carolina, and then I had to step back and think, I'm like, oh, no, yeah, it is Virginia. So they had a great interview with that, and then we just go ad nauseum just covering all the great stuff that we had. Like I mentioned earlier, the F1 race in China, we've talked about the state of sponsorships in NASCAR, because Cliff, he went on his little tirade about that. He actually would have had a nice blog entry, but his computer burped in the middle of him typing. He kind of gave up and did that whole, I can't capture lightning in a bottle twice. So yeah, that's what we've got going on Speed Talk this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a fun show. We had the opportunity to air you guys in for that full hour here on our first hour of the show. Last week we aired your show because of my other responsibilities that I had, and it's a fun show to listen to, guys. So if you have an opportunity later on today, and I'm still working out the time slots on that, but we will be airing the full unedited, uncensored version of a Radio Speed Talk. For
you make that sound like we sit and cuss all the time when you say uncensored.
No,
well, if you go to RadioSpeedTalk.com, we do have uncensored interviews, because sometimes you get people on there that they have a little bit of salty language, so we decide, you know, we'll just put them on the internet only.
Well, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break here. And when we get back, I want to kind of dive into IndyCar this week and talk a little bit about NASCAR. And, of course, if you have any racing question, give us a call, 917-889-8516. Me and Pete would be glad. When I say glad, I mean as glad as a guy that found out this week that they are, I won't even get into the, what, you know, real quickly, what is your thoughts on the whole Luck versus RG3, what are your thoughts?
Well, that RG3 being left, that means the Buffalo Bills might pick him up, so, I mean, as a fan, that's what I'm hoping for.
Not going to happen.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
You
never know. Somebody may come up and say, hey, we'll trade you that pick for this. And I mean, I can hope, can't I?
Yeah, there's always hope. There's always hope.
Exactly.
But if you want to be a fan of RG3, my guess is, guys, you need to start purchasing your Washington Redskins gear, because that's where he's headed. But we're headed to a break. We get back, we're going to be talking more racing. IndyCar's right around the corner with Pete from RadioSpeedTalk.com. We'll be right back.
For breaking her heart.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
When I walk on by, girls be looking like damn fly. I pimp to the beat, walking down the street in my new free.
That is your theme song, buddy. All you,
it
buddy.
That's
your theme song. You ever heard this song?
Yeah.
It was written with you in mind, brother.
Look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out. Girl, look at that body.
Well, we're back here, guys. Welcome my minions back. I'm El Presidente. Tom Marquis joining us. Also, Mr. Pete LaFuscia of RadioSpeedTalk.com. I'm going to jump into the IndyCar discussion. You got any questions? Give us a call. Join the discussion, 917-889-8516. Well, let's just jump right into IndyCar. Obviously, IndyCar's right around the corner here in Indianapolis, and I must say I was very, very excited. I got my official invite to go down to IMS and pick up my credentials this week. So I'm excited that the IndyCar, and there's just something about May in Indianapolis. You know, there's a lot of other great races that happen here in Indianapolis. Obviously, we've talked to, about down at Lucas, and just a lot of different other types of races of the NASCAR. But there's just something special about the month of May in Indianapolis, and those from all over the world come here to Indianapolis and congregate down there on West 16th Street in Indianapolis, Indiana, to hear the sound of the engines of IndyCar. So, Pete, it is so good that we're getting close to another Indianapolis 500. Obviously, this is a historical Indianapolis 500 this year. Let's talk a little bit about IndyCar coming off Long Beach. You know, obviously, Graham Rahal had a mishap out there in Long Beach. So let's talk a little bit about the IndyCar series. And as we head into May here, and obviously May is a huge month to be an IndyCar fan. So we're going to spend a lot of time this month talking about IndyCar and what's going on in the world of IndyCar. So Frank Keady, he's in a slump. He's in a funk. What's going on with Mr. Frank Keady, Pete?
I think he needs to go back on Dancing with the Stars, get his footwork back together. Maybe that's what it is. He's forgetting that the right is gas is go, left is brake. I mean, maybe that's what's part of the problem. I don't know. Or it's maybe his wife is still too happy that Kentucky won a national championship, and there might be problems at home. So, I mean, it could be a bunch of other things, that really have nothing to do with the driving. But I wouldn't say that he's going to stay in the slump forever. I mean, he's obviously a good driver. He's won numerous 500s in the past. It's just a matter of working out this new car that they've got. There's going to be a learning curve. I mean, we've obviously, Willpower, he's won two races. He's got it figured out, but we've also seen that they're using the road course car versus now we'll have a new car, the different body style for the oval and the super speedways. That one will be a learning curve, and everybody will be kind of starting out new with that. Obviously, they've had track time and practice with it, but it's going to be interesting to see how they drive with that vehicle versus what they've already done so far this year with the other body style.
Well, I tell you what, we're certainly not used to seeing Dario Franchitti in a struggle. He doesn't like it either, I'm sure. How much of a problem, how much of a getting used to, and I think the real test for this new car, obviously, is going to be here in Indianapolis, and it's going to put it to its ultimate test. You know, I like the street races. They're great, but, you know, if you really want to see how good a race car is, bring it to Indianapolis, and that's certainly what, you know, and I don't even think we'll have 33 cars this year, but for purposes of conversation, we'll say 33 teams will at least try, but I don't think we're going to have a field that big this year. Do you think, Pete?
I think that we would have exactly that amount. We're not going to see where we have had in the past where these people that are going to go home. But, I mean, I haven't looked into that too much. Is it the finance-wise people didn't have money for the new body, or is it they just don't really have the money to spend a whole month in Indianapolis buying new tires every time they go out on the track to practice and all that? Really what it is, yes, the new body, so people don't have 2-3-year-old bodies that they don't think they're going to win, but they're like, hey, at least we qualified. We can make some money. I remember the year that Sarah Fisher had to qualify. Her dad cashed out his entire 401k. All she had to do was qualify, and then he got his money back, and that's how Sarah Fisher Racing started. Her team did. So I don't know if we're going to see too many people doing that. It's like, okay, here, we're going to spend this kind of money, buy this car. You at least got to qualify. Then we cover our costs on that. I think it's going to be a little more than that. I think people have to have an investment into it. I sure hope we see at least 33 cars because I don't know, and you might be able to help me on this one. Have we ever had a 500 in the modern era that didn't have 33 cars?
You know what? That's a good Google question. I'll try to find an answer for you. I really don't know, honestly. I think that I thought one year we had more than 33, but I'm just thinking it's going to be hard to qualify 33 cars this year. I'm gonna take the opposite. But of course, my predictions have just gone to the crapper this year. So you know what? Just take whatever I say and throw it out the window. It may or may not stick. But I think it's going to be difficult to qualify 33 cars this year. Now, some of the obviously, let's talk about some of the key drivers that'll be there. And a lot of times, many times here at the Indianapolis 500, the rookies do shine. So, what are your thoughts about the rookies this year? And anybody you think that's going to make a standout performance this year at Indianapolis as far as the rookies go?
Well, with the rookies, what you've got is you've got people who, for lack of a better term, are living on a death wish. Most of them are never married. They don't have families, so therefore they're young and dumb and full of adrenaline, and they will do things. They will push an envelope. His name's escaping me right now. The gentleman who would have won last year as a rookie just did a stupid mistake there at the end of the race to lose it, giving it to Dan Weldon. And it's the whole, with the new vehicle, they're gonna do things to it that seasoned drivers at that series level are not gonna do. Where they'll take chances, and I think that's where you're gonna see some excitement in that. They're gonna qualify decent because everybody's learning this new vehicle, but they're gonna do things with it. But they also in turn will do things with that car that will not be good for over a 500-mile race, that is good for several laps of qualifying. So that's what I'm looking at right there will be great for them. I don't see any one rookie sticking out over the others, but I think that we're going to see a decent class. And then back to what you were saying about 33 cars qualifying, my question for you is, are you saying that there won't even be 33 cars there, or they just won't put people that don't make the speed on the track? Because I'm a little confused on that one.
Well, yeah, I don't think there's going to be 33 cars that make the speed, I guess, is how I should have worded that. I mean, I know there's, I think so far, I mean, I think where we're at now is 34 cars have actually entered this year. But
okay.
I hadn't heard
that there were less than 33, but it's one of those, and I hadn't checked press releases in the last couple of days. I was just excited, just like you. I got the email saying, by the way, your credentials are in for you and Cliff. I'm like, yay! So...
Well, and you know, we were talking about rookies, and a guy that I've really gotten to know over the years, obviously a fellow Hoosier here around here in Indiana, is Brian Clausen. I like him a lot. Obviously, he is the short track reigning USAC, I should say, not necessarily short track, but he's the reigning USAC National Drivers Championship title holder. And Brian Clausen hopes to make an appearance for the very first time at the Indianapolis 500 mile race. Now I don't know for sure, obviously, if that's going to happen, but wouldn't it be awesome? And by the way, Brian Clausen's from Noblesville, but wouldn't it be awesome to see Brian Clausen out there in an IndyCar this year and just really and obviously he's got a great team, he's got a great sponsorship. Wouldn't it be great to see a guy like Brian Clausen make it into the field this year?
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him in it, and nice to see him actually do well. I mean, I don't know if, and this may be a rumor, wasn't it at one time that to be in the Indy 500 you had to be a resident of Indiana, so therefore all these guys were renting trailers there in Indianapolis? It'd be nice to go back to, hey, we've got a guy who's an Indiana resident, he's born and raised here, and it's not a guy with like 42 vowels in his last name and we can't pronounce it, and then you wait for him when he's drinking the milk, he's like, how does it feel to have the Indy 500? I'm very, very excited, yes. That's the extent of their English. So it'll be nice to see somebody born and raised here win it. Not that I have anything against Helio Castroneves or some of the others, Emerson Fittipaldi or any of that, but it'll be nice to see somebody born and raised here win our race.
Oh, I absolutely agree. You know, though, it does seem like every year we, and maybe it's just because, you know, here in the United States, we teach our youngins, play football, play basketball, play baseball, you'll be great, you'll be rich, you'll be famous. I think over in South America, especially in Brazil, in foreign countries, that they do the same thing with their young lads, but with racing cars. So I think that's where you see a lot of the upbringing and why you see those guys. I have a problem with it, man. Every year, I mean, I love talking to the drivers, but man, I have a hard time sometimes trying to say their names. Let's talk a little bit about the Mazda Motorsports group of guys. And I tell you what, I'm familiar with Mazda Motorsports. Obviously, that is a young developmental league that IndyCar has put together. I'm just wondering how that's going to compete with Indy Lights Series. And what are your thoughts there? Obviously, the Mazda Motorsports Series in itself is a relatively new series. So do you think we need yet another series for developmental drivers?
Well, I think that this is my first experience with the Mazda Series was last year, the night before the 500, Lucas Oil ran a race, and I didn't even know that this series had existed. I'm glad to see that there's something that looks like and emulates these cars that they're getting into in the Indy Lights and the IRL. So it's nice to see a car that looks like that, because everybody else has a series that the cars look like. It is a variation. Obviously, we've got the Nationwide. It's a scaled back version of the Cup. If you've got with the drag racing, it's a scaled back dragster, and they work a little different, but it helps them build their fundamentals. That it's great that they've got this going on. Now, when you said, is it something we need? Yes, we definitely need it. There's always room for a series like this, because then they can also go to the towns that can't really host the big name events. Everybody thinks that we have to have the top marquee. If somebody builds a new track, they ask them, when are they going to put in a NASCAR race? If they build a new drag strip, when are they going to bring in an HRA race, a full throttle one? It's like, you know what? Sometimes it's nice to have the intermediate series. You're seeing the future coming up. You're seeing the people that are coming up. So having a series like this Mazda series is great for that. It gives them the experience, and it also gives us a chance to see what it looks like with them in a vehicle that would be similar to what they would be driving later.
Well, you know, you mentioned the future, and with the new DeLorean.
DeLorean?
Was it you that was on the show? I was telling you about my story. It might have been Kenny or Cliff, but anyway, last year out at the Indianapolis 500, after doing interviews and walking from the pits back to the media center, walking to the pits, hot, and you know, on the border of a heat stroke, I think I asked the question. Of course, Dan, we didn't know what the new DW12. That's a lot easier to say, by the way. I like short and acronyms, Pete. But the new DW12. But I said DeLorean, and Will Power goes, "What are we, Back to the Future?" But what a fitting kind of name mix up, because it is the future race car. Obviously, it's what IndyCars are doing. And you know, if you look at some of the side-by-side comparisons, and you look at the St. Petersburg race, there was only three lead changes in 2011, and this year in 2012, there was 9 and 7 drivers. So when you look at situations like that, I mean, maybe the new car, even though a lot of people don't like it, say, hey, it's not an open-wheel car anymore, so we don't like it. You know, of course, you're going to have those critics out there. I like it. I think it makes the cars perform better. And even I think the car, when you look at, for example, going back to the St. Petersburg race, you had three cautions in 2012, and you had 5 cautions in 2011. In the winning margin in 2012 in St. Petersburg was 5.52 seconds. Whereas in 2011, 7.16 seconds. So when you do those side-by-side comparison, clearly the new DW12 is a better-performing car. It's just the teams have to get used to its power.
Well, and again, anytime you've got passing and lead changes, I personally think that does better for racing, because if there's anything that gets boring, and I used to watch Indy racing as a kid a lot, but I just couldn't stand that. If Danny Sullivan took the green flag to start the race, Danny Sullivan was probably the one who's going to lead all 400 laps at a Michigan or at Atlanta or something like that. And you just don't see the lead changes. And I think with the new design, it allows them that they can find different areas that they can move around and get them around. And that's what we want. We want to see that. We want to see the passing, the lead changes, but we also want to see the close racing. And I think they're going to do that with the oval cars at Indy. I think we'll see some lead changes there. That's going to make for some great racing. In a vehicle looks safe. I like the way what the new F1 car looks like, in the sense that, man, we've got lead changes in that race, and it was great to watch that in China. Whereas we've seen races in the past Whoever takes the green flag to start the race is probably the one who's going to take the checkered flag or somebody just right behind them if they messed up. So that's what I think is great about the closeness of the races, and it's allowing them to pass in different areas and make for better racing and for more entertainment. Now, I know that some race purists are like, no, it's because everybody's got short attention spans and they don't want to watch stuff like they used to. Well, you know what? It's a sign of the times. Things are adapting. Baseball, people would sit there and watch 9 innings. Now they got to do 90 things between the innings to keep our attention. That's just the progression of society.
Well, I absolutely agree. Also joining us now, finally, is Mr. $2 Bill Josh Elmore, my quasi co-host. I say quasi because he just decides when he wants to be the co-host. Josh, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Sorry about the technical difficulties this morning.
You have technical difficulties every day, dude. Anyway, joining us also, Josh, is Pete LaFuchsia at RadioSpeedTalk.com. We're talking IndyCar. We're going to be wrapping up our conversation of IndyCar. We're going to take a break here in just a moment, and we're going to come back. We're going to talk some NASCAR. I love NASCAR, too, as well, guys. But, I just got a special love and passion for IndyCar, and I've spent a lot of time with the IndyCar drivers and circuit and teams, and you know, so some guys that I just really have gotten to know on the personal basis that I tweet and text, you know, semi-regularly. Will Power, James Hinchcliffe, Taglioni, those are three guys that I just kind of keep in touch with through Twitter. And by the way, speaking of Twitter, that evil monster, Pete, has shown its face to one Kenny Barr, in case you did not know that. And guys,
I'm actually texting Kenny back and forth. Who do you think's helping me with the Mazda questions?
I like Kenny. Kenny's a great guy to have on the show too, as well. All three of you guys are fantastic to have on the show. But yeah, so follow Kenny. He's as close to Twitter as you're going to find the Radio Speed Talk guys at Kenny Bar 52. Well, you know, I was talking about one of my guys that I like and I keep in touch with, and just you know, every now and then, you know, certainly not every day, but every now and then I'll shoot a text out to Will or James Hinchcliffe, and I'll say, how's things going? How's the feel? You know, and I got a text last week from Will Power, because I'm really liking the feel of this car. I'm getting used to it. It's really I'm getting my ass molded into the seat. So I enjoyed that text from him, and obviously it's working for Will Power this year, and obviously we've got a long season yet, but he's certainly off to a good start. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Oh, anyway. Yes. Yes, he's off to a great start.
Well, Josh, do you have any questions for Pete regarding IndyCar or Kenny via text regarding any engineering questions? We need to try to stump Kenny Barr one of these days, and we're gonna do that. We're gonna come up with some very very precise technical question that one Kenny Barr does not know the answer to. But Josh, go ahead. Any questions?
Not as far as engineering questions go, but. IndyCar this year is a little bit different, and I apologize I wasn't able to join you for racing last week, but I mean this with no pun intended. IndyCar this year has lost its sex appeal on TV, and it's no longer as exciting to watch as it has been in the past. Has anybody else noticed that, or is it just kind of me who thinks that?
I don't know. I'm not gay or anything, but there's some pretty sexy drivers.
I wouldn't disagree with him, but then it goes back to, again, how are they presenting it on TV? Part of it, you got to look at it, who's the one who's doing that, because if you notice anything with any type of racing network, whether it's Speed, whether it's ESPN, Fox, or ABC, they've got their own personality in the way that they present any type of racing that you see on TV. And I think maybe part of the problem with the IRL is that basically they it's the way it's coming across by who's broadcasting at the time. And by the way, Kenny just texted me. He fully disagreed. TV ratings are actually way up for the IRS, so maybe it's just you. And the road courses stink, is what he says. We just need to give him a phone number. I don't have him just calling. You got to throw a number out there and have him join us for the next segment.
Hey, Kenny, you know the number, 917-889-8516. Give us a call, buddy. You're always welcome. You have an open invitation. So, Kenny, I know you're listening, so just pick up the phone and call us. Call us now! 917-889-8516. We're going to come back on our next segment. We're going to be talking some NASCAR. And you know what? We just talked about Dario Franchitti struggling in the IndyCar series. Well, we've got a struggler in the NASCAR series as well. We'll find out who that is when we get back with the guys from RadioSpeedTalk.com. You're listening to The Balance. My name's El Presidente Tom Marquis. We'll be right back.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
The best hits, best hits, and the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indy Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indy Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. I'm El Presidente. Welcome back, my minions. We're talking racing. I think we lost Pete, but I think we gained Kenny. Are you with us, buddy?
Yeah. I don't know how you lost Pete. He's usually on top of that kind of stuff.
I'm sending him a text right now. Where'd you go, bro? So, hey, Kenny, so glad that you could join us. You don't need an invitation, a formal invitation to join this show. You just call in any old time, especially when we're talking racing. We're going to backtrack just a little bit. I know we're going to get, I think we do have Pete back now. Pete, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
All
hey,
right,
good morning, Pete. How's it going?
Hey, it's Kenny. Hey, we're enjoying the talk.
Long time no talk, brother.
Yeah, now somebody had to save my butt.
Well, You know, I want to just backtrack a little bit because we were talking about the new GW12 and the impact that that's having on races. And when you look at the side-by-side races, Kenny, you look at, you know, the lead changes and you look at the cautions and you look at the difference. I use the St. Petersburg race, and we've had two races, obviously St. Petersburg and Long Beach, but the real test comes to Indianapolis, and obviously that's a special track and has to be treated with much, much respect. So what are the teams going to be doing with the GW12 to be ready for the Indianapolis 500? And do you think we'll have exactly 33 cars, or do you think we'll have less because they won't be able to qualify with the new car?
Well, they'll be able to qualify. I mean, you're going to get 33 cars. You got 34 entries. There's always a couple of guys floating around that has money the last qualifying session that you know, A.J. Foyt will have an extra car, or Andretti Green will have an extra car. So they'll field a full field of 33 cars, even if the last guy goes at the 197 or something. So they'll field 33. I don't have any doubt about that. What are they going to do to be competitive? A lot of practice, a lot of thinking. I still think we kicked this around last week or a couple of weeks ago, I think. I still think the haves and the have-nots are really going to be separated big time at Indianapolis. The guys with the money, their research and development, the practice time, the wind tunnel time, they're going to jump out and just be the class of the field all the way through the whole month of May down in Indianapolis.
Well, all right, guys, we're going to jump into our NASCAR segment because our time with you, time just flies with you guys, and we have so much fun, and we appreciate you joining us. But joining us is Peach, the Fuchsia of RadioSpeedTalk.com, and Kenny Barr as well, the guy underneath the hood, and we always try to stump him. But we were just talking in the IndyCar race, you know, Dario Franchitti struggling and trying to get his groove and get his mojo going. And then you come over to NASCAR, and we have another driver that is struggling this year and just having a slow start, and that is one Kyle Busch. So let's talk about Mr. Kyle Busch. We'll go around the table here, and we'll start with you, Kenny. What seems to be up with Kyle Busch, and why is he struggling so much this year?
Well, Pete and Cliff and I got around this week on the show, so you're going to have to tune into that and analyze that a little bit. But we think it's psychological. You know, he got in so much trouble last year. The wife or girlfriend or whatever he's got was supposed to kind of help him through all that stuff.
Both.
Is it the wife? Okay. And we think that he's just not as brave as he was the year before. He's got a wife now. He's caught hell enough times from enough people about his behavior, even on the track and off the track. And yeah, I know. I just did a no-no, didn't I? But I just don't think he's sticking that car in holes that he used to stick it in. He's not driving it as hard and as aggressive because he's got the same team. He's got the same everything. He just isn't doing as well as he was. And we think it's all psychological. It's right upstairs. What do you think, Pete?
I agree. It's upstairs. It's also maybe somebody's gotten to him and said, hey, you know what, you're so good at the beginning of the season. You're really taking all these chances, and then you're burning out come chase time. I mean, what do we got, 3 years in a row that he's made it into the chase and people were looking at him the favorite to win and he just putters out finishing 11th or 12th. I think maybe he got a sports psychologist or something like that and says, okay, we need to calm down. It's only the beginning of the season. And then the other thing is where he had his reins pulled back was, okay, you can't drive in the Truck Series. And he loved the driving and the Truck Series and all that, and then he's only going to be doing so much time in Nationwide. He really wants to hit that 200 win mark so bad. He's at, what, 105 right now amongst the three series, and you know that there's a bell curve where that thing's going to take a mighty, mighty dramatic dip to drop, so he knows that he's got to get him done now, but maybe that's part of the reason why he hasn't had success with championships in the cup level, so it's got to be hitting him there. Another thing, he's got a wife. They're probably going to want to start having children soon because he's going on second year of marriage, and the dumb stuff that he did on and off the track, the driving that Lexus 100 and some odd miles, getting a speed ticket, and then just getting mad and putting Hornaday into the wall. I think he had somebody had told him, or a sports psychologist, or maybe the reality, that he's got to calm down, and that's, and he's taken it to heart. Because, and something else, now that I'm thinking this out loud, it also may have been like, oh, wait, look what happened to my brother. He had two chances with two really good teams. Now he's driving for somebody else because his temper finally got to him. Maybe that's what it is. You look at his brother and goes, wait, I can't do what he just did, and because then he would lose his ride. I mean, that I can't see Joe Gibbs putting up with too much more.
Right, and I totally agree. Well, the NASCAR boys are out in Kansas this week. And let's talk a little bit about that Kansas race while we've got a few minutes left. We'll start with you, Josh. Josh, what are your thoughts about this Kansas race? And any questions for Pete or Cliff regarding the race out in Kansas?
Well, as far as Kansas goes, it'll be all wide open. Kansas is a very flat, very wide open. I remember I hardly ever step off the throttle. But speaking of psychological problems with race car drivers, who's in the 48 car, and where is Jimmy Johnson? Because Jimmy's just off this year.
Well, I hope he's in the winner's circle this week, because that's who I picked on our predictions on RadioSpeedTalk.com. So he's actually done fairly well. It's kind of like Jeff Gordon, you know. Done real well, just haven't had good finishes. I mean, Johnson's got rattled around there at Daytona with that C-pillar deal, and that probably affected the team for a little while. But I think they're right in the ship. I think they're going to win this week. He's always been good at Kansas, and he's not that far off the beaten path. Besides, you know, he's just 1 year removed from being a five-time champion. I don't write him off just quite yet. I don't think he's out of the loop.
Well, and real quickly, obviously the truck series are out in Richmond this week. What's going on in the truck series? Obviously, there's some streaks going on there as well. Kenny, Pete.
Well, actually, it's truck and a couple both at Kansas this week, if I'm not mistaken, because in the fall, it'll be Nationwide and Cup at Kansas. Correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't that right, Kenny?
Yeah, they're all out of Kansas this week.
Okay. My bad.
But
what I think is going to be great for both the truck and Cup is this is the last time they're going to race on the surface at Kansas. Part of the reason why they're doing so early for the spring race is because they have to get the place resurfaced and redone, and then they're going to have a later than normal race in October so that they can get it resurfaced. We spoke with Pat Warren. You can listen to that. I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. The interview's still on RadioSpeedTalk.com. He's talking about all the stuff they're doing there, and they've got all the trucks and equipment ready to go. Monday morning, they start ripping up the track to rebuild it to get it ready for it. So it's going to be interesting to see how it is there, like Josh said, wide open. Yeah, I've been to several races in the last couple of years, and that's one thing I noticed there is those people, they just put the hammer down and just ride it all the way around the track. So it'll be interesting to see the last time that this will be the last time they'll be able to do that there at the track. And it's some great racing. It also gives a big injection of a fan base that has really not been coming to NASCAR for all that long. That's the Midwestern people. If they did, they took one race a year. Well, they're now coming to this race in droves, and I think that's why it's became popular, because it's right smack dab in the middle of the country. And it's great. It's an infusion of fans. And then you got the people who grew up in that area, in Clint Boyer, Jamie McMurray and all them, they're Midwestern guys from Missouri and Kansas. This is their home track, and they tend to shine there. And it's great to see that they're going to be there. And they're the ones that you kind of want to watch out. And it's all in all going to be some great racing there. I love Kansas. Probably my second or third favorite track to go to.
Well, guys, we're about out of time here, but before we do that, I certainly want to start making this a regular event. And Kenny, you reminded me of that, that I wanted to start doing predictions because you guys do it on your show, and I want to make sure that I have an opportunity to do it with you guys on our show. So you don't have to vote twice. So if you guys want a double entry, so if you want to change your mind about anything, Kenny, feel free to do that. So we're going to start with you, Kenny. Who do you pick for Kansas win in the NASCAR series?
Well, I'm going to stay with Jimmy Johnson. Good heavens, an opinionated guy like me, I can't waffle. My gosh.
Pete.
Kenny, can you help me? Who did I choose? I've heard you for Todd. I think I picked Biffle.
Oh, Pete, I'm going to have to go look. I don't remember.
I know. I go with Biffle even if I didn't pick him on our show. So I usually remember my picks and all that, but yeah.
He just draws somebody out of a hat with a blindfold, right? Josh!
I'm in third place all the time with our show. If you know anything for the past 2 years, us doing these predictions, I am like the running joke of never. Every now and then I'll win and I'll have a good week, or I'll have a week where I pick three winners, but then I got three stinkers and two of them didn't even show up to the race. So well, it's one of those, yeah, I pull them out of a hat.
And Joshua attested this last year. I have a remarkable knack of picking winners. I just, like I said, this year my predictions have they've all gone to the crapper. But I'll get to my prediction here in a minute. But I'm pretty good at picking winners. So Josh, who's your pick, real quickly?
Dale Earnhardt Jr. And I agree with you, Tom. You did pick Santorum, so you're not doing so hot on picks.
That's true. I also picked RG3, so you know, I don't have a very good start. I'm struggling this year. Maybe we need to have a conversation about why I'm struggling this year. But you know, really, in all seriousness, guys, I like Paul Menard. It's time for him to get his first win. He's been right there before. He's been in the top 10. He's doing the right things this year, and he's one of those guys that's under the radar. And I just think that with the wide open space that Kansas has, gives Paul Menard that opportunity to take the checkered flag. Jimmy Johnson second, by the way. So Kenny, you're right there. I think you're there, but I think this is going to be the year that Paul Menard gets his first win in Kansas.
Well, Tom, I think you're close. You're just a little bit off by maybe one or two spots, but that's not bad.
All right. Well, guys, that's going to do it real quickly here. We know we can follow Kenny at KennyBar52. So, you know, if you guys have a question that you want to tweet Kenny, go right ahead, guys, at KennyBar52. Get on Twitter right now and follow him. And I think if we're not following him, we will be following him here very, very soon. Coming up right around the corner here, we got Evan Williams going to be talking some baseball. And then in the bottom half, we're going to be talking some NFL. So, Pete and Kenny, do you guys have any final thoughts before we let you go today?
The only final thought I have is I got to thank my beautiful bride for a great big breakfast. It was good stuff, man.
What'd you have?
Whatever she made. I'll eat whatever she throws in front of me, actually. I think it was just a straight-up bacon and eggs this morning.
Man, you got to love a woman that knows how to cook bacon and eggs. That's an art, that's for sure.
You betcha.
All right, Pete, anything from you? I guess we lost Pete.
Apparently not. I think he's going to go find some bacon and eggs.
I think he's had a few plates of bacon in it.
Well, we all have. You know, we're all victims of prosperity, Tom. That's a good thing.
I could not agree with you more. That's for sure. Well, guys, I appreciate you joining us. We'll catch you next week. And later today, guys, we'll have the time nailed down and I'll tweet it out. But we will be airing RadioSpeedTalk.com, this week's edition, and you can find everything on RadioSpeedTalk.com. And also, Indy Pro Sports and TheBalanceOnline.com have links right to the Radio Speed Talk. And real quickly, guys, love your new logo. It's great, great stuff. Great stuff.
Yeah, I think they're going to do a little bit of tweaking on it yet, but I think it's a pretty good looking logo. You know, it's clear
like it.
And you can see who and what and where. So
I like it. All right, guys, we'll be right back. We're going to be talking baseball with Evan Williams, $2 Bill Josh, and at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be talking draft. We'll be coming right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Minions, stand by because we're about to talk some baseball.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at HireTips.com. That's HireTips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips, your pets can play while you're away.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Baseball season's underway. Well, you better get ready for a brand new day.
All right, that's enough of that song. We don't want to hear what's coming next on that. But I could not resist. Well, welcome back to The Balance, my minions. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Joining me on the line is Mr. Evan Williams. Are you with us, sir?
I'm here, Tom.
Fantastic. Oh, by the way, are you Skyping or are you selling?
I'm selling. I couldn't really get Skype to work.
Oh, you sound good. Sound good. Joshua, are you with us? $2 bill, Josh.
I'm right here. Actually, I had a couple of questions before we get into talking baseball.
What's up?
One. Where's the hot joint in the week with Jay Graves at? And two, Evan, do you still think with enough time you can do a better job hosting the Tom?
I don't know. We'll see today how it goes.
Hey, you know what? You guys did a fantastic job last week. I really appreciate you filling in, and Evan really did a great job sitting in my chair. You know, but typically, Evan, here's what the host does. I mean, I just want to give you a little just host one-on-one. They stay through the whole show. they don't bail like toward the end of the show there. But you know, other than that, it was all good. No, I'm just kidding with you. Great job from the both of you guys. Well, let's get into this conversation. Obviously, you talked a little bit about baseball last week, but real quickly here, and I want to mention this just because we've got Evan on the line, and you know that IU and Purdue is not done. With a lot of stuff. You guys got your Grand Prix. IU's got the little 500. You going to that? What's going on with that?
Yeah, today's the race day Grand Prix. I'm looking forward to it. Actually, my fraternity, our driver, qualified 6th out of 30-some carts for the race today. So we're really looking forward. I think we have a good shot at taking home first place.
We should have had you in the racing segment this morning. Should have had you on with the guys of RadioSpeedTalk.com. And we will have that whole show, guys, the whole RadioSpeedTalk.com. They have a blast. You know, they talk about anything racing, and even lawnmower racing. So we'll get on to that show. Well, guys, let's get into this baseball conversation because we've got about 30 minutes to talk baseball before we get into the up-and-coming draft conversation, which I'm sure we all have a lot to talk about when we get to that. But we'll just kind of start over there in the National League, work our way through some of the games yesterday, and kind of touch on the highlights. Obviously, the Cincinnati Reds are doing a good job of putting my anybody that could beat the Cubs. I want to start off by saying, great job, Reds, Cincinnati Reds, sweeping the Cubs. Sweep. You know, the Cubs just they're America's favorite team to hate in the National League, and the Yankees, I think, are the America's favorite team to hate in the American League. So let's talk about that series. And Josh, I know you've been covering the Indianapolis Indians, and Josh is the official beat writer for the IndyProSports.com for the Indianapolis Indians. There's some great articles up there from Josh over the last two recent games out there at the Indianapolis Indians. Josh, I appreciate you taking some time to cover the Indians for us, give you a little credential to go down there, sit in the press box, eat food, and talk baseball with us. Well, we got the Reds and the Cubs, guys. Let's talk about that series. The Reds, 16th team to mark 4 runs in the first inning, starting them off. So obviously the Reds are starting off with a fantastic job and up there in Wrigley yesterday. And by the way, the Reds earned their 10,000th franchise win. I remember the Reds back in the day, and you guys don't remember this, and I understand that, but I remember the days of Johnny Bench, Pete Rose, the days with the big red machine, the Cincinnati Reds, back in the 70s. 10,000 wins for the Cincinnati Reds. Congratulations. So we'll start with you, Evan. Thoughts on the Reds and the Cubs series?
Well, Tom, I think the Reds really needed that sweep. You know, no one in the Central other than the Cardinals, which I'm loving, are really playing well right now. So, you know, this gets the Reds closer to 500. You know, I saw some guys, Drew Stubbs got his offense going a little bit in that last game. Jay Bruce, he's been pretty good this year despite a low average. He's come up with some big hits. And the Cubs are just really struggling right now. I mean, they have way too many errors out of Starlin Castro to start the season. He already has 5. That's just, you're not going to be able to win many games when you're committing that many errors this early in the season. So it's going to be a struggle for the Cubs.
Well, I tell you what, I like Drew Stubbs with the Cincinnati Reds. He is just a stud this year, and, you know, we're in the process. It's just everything is just kind of has fell apart here, but we are going to have a fantasy baseball team this year. Drew Stubbs is a stud, guys. If you're a fantasy baseball player, I would certainly go out there and take some time to pick up Drew Stubbs from the Cincinnati Reds. Josh, the Reds, the Cubs, what's going on?
Well, it was good to see the Reds get the series sweep, but Tom, I'm starting to wonder about you. We talked about IndyCar, and you said there's some sexy drivers in IndyCar, although there's only one or two females. Either one was sexy. And now you said Drew Stubbs is a stud. Come on, man.
I know, man. I gotta check in my man card, I guess. I've been sad sacked. So, anyway, it is what it is. Quickly, Josh. Reds and Cubs.
It was good to see the Reds get a series. I think the Cardinals are leading the division using smoke and mirrors. The only problem with that is teams that use smoke and mirrors always fall off late in the season.
Well, if I remember right, last year the Cardinals, the smoke was very big. They won World Series. I do want to take a quick time here to talk about Fenway Park. 100 years. Josh, you're a Red Sox fan. We'll start with you. Red Sox, Yankees, what a fantastic game that with honoring Fenway. So what are your thoughts about Fenway Park, 100 years? And you know something, guys, if you put this in contrast, it opened up the same year that the Titanic sunk.
Not only did it open the same year, it opened the same week. I thought of Fenway Park being 100 years old. It is 100. But the Red Sox have done a masterful job. It's the oldest ballpark, but it looks just as nice as any of the newer ballparks. So awesome job at Fenway Park reaching 100. And Bobby Valentine, are you packed yet? Because this writing's on the wall. Tony La Russa, from what I hear, is on his way to Boston, at least for a sit-down visit, if you believe the ESPN baseball writers. So I just got to know, is Bobby V packed yet, or is he waiting for La Russa to pack his stuff for him?
I just think it's weird seeing Tony La Russa, you know, in a position of overall baseball leadership. But it's good. I'm a big Tony La Russa fan. Well, guys, let's move with the discussion here on baseball. We got a lot to cover because we want to make sure we have plenty of time to talk about the up-and-coming draft. So I'm just going to kind of bounce around. We'll start with the National League. We're going to just kind of talk about some teams, some key things that are going on there. Obviously, we always start with the National League Central because that's kind of where we're located at. A lot of our fan base is, you know, National League Central fans. And I know that two people on this call right now are St. Louis Cardinal fans. So, Evan, our Cardinals are off to a great start. Obviously, leading the National League Central, and again with Cincinnati barking at their tail. Let's talk about the St. Louis Cardinals. What are they doing right? What are they doing wrong?
Tom, I think they're doing a lot right now, and it's good to see because I was kind of worried, you know, with La Russa leaving, Pujols leaving, you know, maybe there was going to be some struggles at the beginning of the year, but there really hasn't been. You know, Lance Lynn pitched another great game yesterday. He improved to 3-0 on the year, and his ERA is 1.42. I mean, he's pitched great, and I think he's going to be a great guy for the rotation. I'm really looking forward to see how he progresses and how he continues to grow as a major league player. Yesterday, you know, the offense came through, didn't put up too many runs, but just got the work done. Beltran, he's been great this year. He's still batting 347, went 2-for-4 yesterday. And I really like the middle of this lineup with Holiday, Beltran, Freese, you know, Berkman once he gets healthy again. I really think this is a team that can be successful like last year.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, you got guys like – and you know what? Here's the thing. I'm in no big hurry. If Lance Lynn wants to keep playing like he's playing now, I'm in no big hurry for Chris Carpenter to come back. Josh, what are your thoughts real quickly on the Cardinals?
Well, they're by far, at least in the early part of the season, the class of the National League Central, which I'm going to equate to being the smartest kid in the special ed class. They're in that division. You have the Pirates. I mean, no offense to the Pittsburgh Pirates. I am the beat writer for the Indianapolis Indians. So hopefully the Pirates going to turn around. You have the Cubs, the Astros, the Brewers. Leading that division is like being the smartest kid in the special ed class.
Man, you're going to be permanently sad sacked off this show, brother. Evan, he's going to be singing a different tune at the end of the year when we win yet another World Series. All right, guys, let's move over to let's go over to the East. You know, how about these Washington Nationals? Woo! Man, they have came out of nowhere. I like them. I like their pizzazz. They're sexy. I don't know what that's just a term to say these days. I mean, I'm trying to be hip. I'm 43 years old. I'm trying to be hip. It's a sexy pick. I like the Nationals, really. In all seriousness, I do like the Washington Nationals. They're doing a great job. And I think, really, in all seriousness, guys, when we talk about the Washington Nationals, we are finally talking about a team in D.C. in baseball that has playoff potential. What are your thoughts, Evan?
Yeah, the Nationals are 11-4 at this point, which is great. You know, hopefully it'll energize the fan base. They'll be able to draw some more fans if they can actually put together a winning season. But we'll see how it goes throughout the year. I'm not too sold on them yet as far as, you know, really having a shot in the East with, you know, the Mets who are going to be there this year. Phillies are always there. You know, Braves can pull it out. And, you know, that's going to be a tough division to stay at the top. So it'll be interesting to see, but right now they're playing great baseball, and they've got some offense behind them with Jason Worth. Rick Ankiel has actually been playing very well for them lately. Ryan Zimmerman, Adam LaRoche. They've got talent on that team now, and it'll be interesting to see if they can hold up throughout the season.
Josh, Washington Nationals, what are your thoughts? Buying into them right now, or you think that they're the real deal?
I'm going to hold on to the Nationals. I'm not going to buy them, but I won't sell them. The only reason I won't buy them is their all-star closer, Drew Stewart, from Brownsburg, Indiana, just had surgery the other day, and Bryce Harper's not quite to the Nationals organization yet. But, Tom, it is good to see Washington finally be competitive.
Well, yeah, and you look at the, and you look and you talk about the teams in the league. I mean, outside of Miami, really, they're all huge contenders. You look at the Phillies, you look at the Braves, the Mets. Those are all, you know, there's only three and a half games back from last to first place. And so it is a tough division to win anyway. And to see a weaker team, like when I say weaker team, it's just the Nationals have been a weaker team certainly over the past few years, and it certainly have not been anything that have been all that excited about. But you know, 11-4 start is a fantastic start. Now, moving over to the West, the National League West, and we've had Mark Timmons on the show here, on my partner with IndyProSports.com, and also owner of LADodgerTalk.com. He has talked with us in great detail about the Dodgers. The Dodgers have got to get fans into the stadium. It's a great, fun stadium. My son went there for opening night. He's out there in California in the Marines. He was at Dodger Stadium for opening day. Sent me some pictures. It looked like there was a lot of fans there, so they're really doing a lot to energize their base. But the one thing that energizes fans, that's wins. They're starting off with 11-3 go. And again, you look at the teams that are there. You got the Rockies. You got San Francisco, the Giants, and you got Arizona, and of course San Diego. Those all aren't really wimp teams, and the Dodgers certainly, with all the distractions going on in and around the Dodgers, with the new ownership and with the money problems and all of the stuff that has happened with the Dodgers. You look at them starting at 11-3 start, Evan. I'm buying into them right now. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Tom, I agree. I think this is a very good Dodgers team, and I definitely think that they're the favorite out in the NL West. Matt Kemp is playing some unbelievable baseball right now. He's leading the National League in almost every offensive statistical category. And then last night's game, 3-1 Dodgers win. Went 3-for-3, brought two in. He's batting .481 still on the year. I think this guy's definitely an MVP candidate. He had a great year last year, and I think should have won over Ryan Braun. But I think he's definitely a contender to win MVP this year again.
Josh, what are your thoughts on the Dodgers?
Well, they're having a lot of fun out there in Dodger Park, and I'm going to buy the LA Dodgers. They look to be like the legitimate team. And it's good to see Todd Mattingly from Evansville, Indiana, having a great start as a manager. But Tom, Evan, how can we forget about history that happened not even 5 days ago? Never been done before in Major League Baseball. For those of you who don't know, Jamie Moyer won a ball game at 49 years old.
Absolutely. You know what? I was listening to another radio show on the network. There's a 5-degree separation between him and Babe Ruth, and they went through the whole separations of that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, geez, 49 years old. I'm 43 years old. Just to put in perspective about where baseball was back in the day. In 49 years old and still pitching is a remarkable feat. And thanks for pointing that out for us, Josh. Well, let's move over to the other league, to the American League, the only league that has the DH and all the sluggers, because all the old sluggers moved to the American League. And I'm an official American League hater, again, because of Albert Pujols going to the Angels, which brings me to the leader of the American League East. Those Baltimore Orioles. Usually we talk about the Red Sox or the Yankees leading that division. Evan, are you buying into the Baltimore Orioles?
I'm not going to buy. I'm not going to sell. Once again, I kind of take treating them like the Nationals. They're playing great right now, but they still don't have a great record. They're 8-6. You know, I know Boston and New York have been having their struggles, but I think they'll both turn it up and really improve their play over the course of the year. So I'm not going to buy or sell, but I wouldn't really count on them yet.
Well, and I tell you what, that's a fun league to watch. It's a fun fan base. I mean, you got to look at The distance between three of those teams, or you could be there in a day's car drive. I mean, you've got Baltimore, you've got the Yankees, and you've got the Boston Red Sox. And the Boston Red Sox are off to a sluggish start this year, so we'll see if they can turn things over. But moving over to the Central, no big surprise there. I like the Detroit Tigers. They're doing really. I'm not surprised at all to see the Detroit Tigers where they are at. They are actually a darn good team. Really, first and second really is the most predictable in the American League Central. Is probably the most predictable where I thought everybody would be at least in first and second place as far as with Cleveland and Detroit. And obviously, the Detroit Tigers have a great farm system and they feed well into that. So what are your thoughts about the Detroit Tigers there, Evan?
I definitely think getting Prince Fielder is a huge boost. Well, obviously, it's a huge boost for them. I definitely think that Detroit should be in a great position to stay atop of the NL Central. I think overall, you know, led by Justin Verlander, last year's MVP, their pitching staff to go along with the offense that they have, I definitely think that they're going to be a real contender, and I think they can make a run towards the World Series.
Josh, are you buying into the Detroit Tigers?
How can you not buy into the Detroit Tigers when they have Verlander? Not to mention, they have the best AAA ball club, which means if anyone gets hurt, they just call up another superstar.
There's nobody right now that I've seen in recent memory that feeds into. And here's the thing. They started doing very well in their farm system, and it's starting to pay dividends. And that's why I'm a firm believer. Get out to your local AAA baseball team. Obviously, Josh, I know you're down there covering the Indians, and obviously, which is a AAA farm team for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I know you've been down there covering that for us a lot. So what's going on with the Indians real quickly before we move over to the American League West?
Well, the Indians are 6-8. They have a lot of injuries. They've been really inconsistent. They have a few decent players, no superstars other than Jake Fox, who's on the DL. But Tom, last night I had the highlight of my life. I had three of them. I got to interview Dean Trader for about 10 minutes in his office. That was really, really cool. The inside of Victory Field, the manager's office. I got to sit down and talk to George Schultz for around 90 minutes. Unfortunately, he wouldn't let me record any of it. He's still a great guy.
Well, and we're looking forward to reading that article that you're going to put together about that interview. So great opportunity there as well. All right, well, let's move over to the American League West while we still got a little bit of time before we have to go over and talk some football. We got a lot to talk about when it comes to football this week. Absolutely, that's for sure. All right, the Rangers. Back, right back where they need to be at, the Texas Rangers. I'm buying them. I don't know that I'm buying them for a World Series repeat, but I'm certainly buying them right now to be a very good, viable playoff team. Evan?
Yeah, you have to include Texas. I mean, any talk is, you know, a favorite to possibly get back to the World Series. They return the most out of any of the teams. You know, their offense, very high power. They have a solid pitching staff, even with the loss of C.J. Wilson. Definitely like this Texas team, and I think they definitely have a real good chance to repeat.
All right, Josh, what are your thoughts?
I really love Texas, but I'm going to go ahead and pick my World Series matchup right now. And nobody else in America is going to pick it. I'm going to pick Nationals, Yankees, at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I don't see that happening at all. And if I had to make a bold pick for the World Series right now, and you guys could go back at a home, and this will be on tape, so I will go back. I will go back and play it. Absolutely, it's going to be the Cleveland Indians, and yes, again the Philadelphia Phillies. Evan, just bold pick on the World Series this year.
I wouldn't really say mine's a bold pick, but I'm going to go with the Detroit Tigers matched up again versus the St. Louis Cardinals.
Whew, boy, get me excited on that one. That's a good one. I just get nervous about picking back to back, especially when it comes to my team. You know, just like I would have a hard time picking the Colts to be in the Super Bowl back in the day when they could actually make it to the Super Bowl. But who knows? We got Andrew Luck now, right? Yeah, maybe the whole world's going to change. Real quickly, though, and we will going to be jumping right into that conversation here in just a minute. We're standing by also for Brian, Super Colts fan Brian Jensen, who informed me yesterday that he would be calling. So hopefully he does do that. Well, let's talk about the All Stars, guys. What are your thoughts about who do you think are some X factors that nobody's really looking at for who will show up for the All Stars this year? Josh, we'll start with you, and then we'll end with you, Evan.
I'm going to say Lance Lynn from the St. Louis Cardinals deserves to make it.
Okay, I agree with you. Okay, I thought he was going to say something else. Evan?
I really don't have anyone in mind from other teams. I mean, I obviously, most of my baseball attention is directed towards the Cardinals. But I definitely think that Lance Lynn, if he continues to pitch like he has, I think he can be an all-star pick.
Well, the all-star online voting is underway, so you guys can do it. But here's a crazy thought. Why are we voting for all-star baseball in April? I mean, I don't know. Shouldn't we wait to see who actually is the all-star?
That's a good point. Well, speaking of the all-star game in baseball, I've never liked the fact that the fans can vote in the players. I think baseball is unique from any other sport, as the All-Star should be picked solely by the manager, and the rule that every team has to have an All-Star is crap, because some teams don't have an All-Star. So you're taking up a spot that should go to an All-Star by some nobody from a team who didn't have any All-Stars.
Well, here's the thing. And let's face it, the All-Stars are nothing more than a popularity vote, in my opinion. It's fun to watch. I like the All-Star break. I love watching the All-Stars. I watch them every year. Root for the National League, but let's face it, it's nothing more than a popularity contest. And speaking of popularity contests, guys, well, that's exactly what happened over there on West 56th Street, and we're going to get into that conversation here in just a moment. But I think that Jim Irsay definitely had his mind made up a long time ago. Yes, I'm the guy that flew that RG3 banner, and you know, it is what it is, and I think ultimately Irsay got who he wanted to get. We're going to get into that conversation when we get back here in just a moment, guys. If you want to join myself, Evan, or $2 Bill Josh, and I think also we might be joined by Super Colts fan Brian Jensen coming up as well. When we get back, we're going to jump right into NFL Draft. Yes, it's 1 week away.
Owning a pet can be so rewarding, but challenging at times. Do you have to work and can't make it to the vet? Are you away from home for long periods at a time? Is there a new pet at home that needs attention? Are you out of pet food and can't get to the store? Does your yard need cleared of pet waste? Do you have a unique pet that needs special care? Are you going away and you don't want to send your pet to the unfamiliar surroundings of a kennel? If so, Terry's Indie Pet Service can help in all these situations. In addition, full-service grooming will be offered later this year. When you hire Tips, you can leave home and know that your pet is exercised, fed, watered, and given medication, all in the comfort of their own environment. There is no longer a need for your healthy animal to stay in an uncomfortable kennel. Tips can solve the challenges of pet ownership. If you want the most personalized care for your pet, then hire Terry's Indie Pet Service. Visit her on the web at hiretips.com. That's HIRETips.com. Or call her at 317-410-3377. Tips. Your pets can play while you're away.
Continuous hit music. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
what we are. This is what we do.
A lot of stuff.
WROM, playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
It's about to be a lot of fun today.
All right, guys. I love that. I tell you what, for those of you that have been a part of our show for a long time, know that that's how we are. Our segment into fantasy football talk, our segment into talk. And guys, it is 1 week away from the NFL draft. We are going to dedicate this whole segment to the NFL, and it's definitely back. And we're going to start, obviously, with the number one pick. It happens to be the Indianapolis Colts. That decision started right here.
The Indianapolis Colts have fired head coach Jim Caldwell. The team announced the move on Tuesday, just weeks after the team finished a 2-win season. The 2-14 record was the worst for Caldwell in his 3 years as the Colts head coach.
A difficult day here of shared pain between Peyton, myself, the fans, everyone. I think, in that vein as well, the 18 jersey will never be worn again by a Colt on the field. And this process has been a long, difficult process. I know Peyton and I have had numerous conversations over the months, and we always kept trying to come back to the circumstances that were before us. And we tried to put each other in each other's shoes and tried to realize what the situation was for the franchise, what it was for Peyton. And in the end, those.
Well, there you have it, guys. And that's exactly kind of where the wheels started getting in motion. But as we know, what's going to happen here is that the Indianapolis Colts are going to draft Andrew Luck. That cat was let out of the bag this week. Now, obviously, that certainly is the pick that everybody thought that should be picked. And again, I blame the mainstream media for this. I think that certainly that all the hype around Andrew Luck started a long time ago with the mainstream media and just really built the hype around Andrew Luck. Don't get me wrong, he certainly is a great quarterback. Probably will be a Hall of Famer. My point being is I don't think that Andrew Luck fits the mold, at least the mold and the persona that Jim Irsay wanted to put in front of the fans, that this is what's going on. So we'll start with you, Evan. We had Brian. I don't know what happened with him, but so we'll start with you on the drafting of Andrew Luck. Is this a decision that needs to be that was the right decision?
Tom, I do think in the end, drafting Andrew Luck is going to be the right decision. All the scouts and experts take that as you will. Say that he's the safest quarterback in the draft since Peyton Manning, the safest bet to be successful. So I think that'll be pretty accurate. But I definitely agree. I think the media has definitely hyped him up and began to hype him up way too early. Maybe if there wasn't all of this hype surrounding Luck, after his performance this past season, RG3 would have been the top pick. But I do think it'll be a good pick for Luck. I think he's really going to succeed in Indy, especially with the fan base, the fan support that the Colts will have. I think everyone will start getting excited once we get closer to the season about Luck and hopefully help ease the loss of Peyton Manning.
And we do have a caller. Who's this? Hi, who's this?
Hi, hey, hi, Tom. This is Ed Kratz here
in Philadelphia.
Ed.
Yeah, my buddy Ed. It didn't pop up as you there, so I wanted to make sure it was you. I thought that I had the area code right, but I just wanted to make sure that it was.
Yeah.
Joining us, Ed Kratz, Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. We're talking about the draft. Obviously, the number one draft pick goes to the Indianapolis Colts. No big secret here. They're going to take Andrew Luck. I think that's certainly what everybody thought, except for me. I thought for sure that it would be RG3. So, Josh, let's start with you. I know you're bursting at the seams to talk about this, so go ahead, Josh. The floor is yours on the drafting of number one pick, Andrew Luck.
Well, not many people are aware of this, but over the last 3 years, Versus Network, which is now NBC Sports Network, has shown just about every Stanford game home and away, and I've seen Andrew Luck play probably 30 times in college. I'm tired of hearing him compared to John Elway and Peyton Manning. He's not John Elway. He's not Peyton Manning. What he is bigger, stronger, faster, but the stronger arm version of Aaron Rodgers. When you look at Andrew Luck, he looks a lot like Aaron Rodgers. He plays a similar style of football. He came from a similar style of offense in college. And I think if you give him enough time, he can be the Colts version of Aaron Rodgers. Another thing he can do, Peyton Manning can, is he can tuck the football and run. And Tom, as far as RG3 goes, and we know disrespecting the people of Indianapolis, this is the wrong city for RG3, has nothing to do with his playing ability.
I would like to think in 2012 that that's not true, but maybe you are correct on that. And actually, probably a good person to ask that is on the line with us also, Ed Kratz, Calkins Media beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you're not reading into what Josh is inferring, he is trying to say that because RG3 is a black quarterback, Indianapolis passing by. Do you think that you guys have Michael Vick, obviously a black quarterback, do you think that really still plays a role in today's society in the thinking, especially in the NFL and team owners? Do you really think that that's a reason that a guy like Jim Irsay, could be anybody, would pass up a quarterback just because of their skin color, Ed? Do you think that?
I would really hope that's not the case, and I don't think it is. I think that you want to pick the best player that can play regardless of race or any of that stuff. I certainly hope that's not the case with Bill Polian. I don't know him that well, but it just seems to me that if you want to win, you're going to take the best player that you can possibly take, irregardless of that. And I think Robert Griffin and Andrew Luck are so close in what they're able to do talent-wise that really it just comes down to, just a preference and who maybe you feel more comfortable with in your system and in your building. I don't think it has anything to do with black or white. And listen, every draft choice is just a crapshoot. You don't know what you're going to get. There's no guarantee. You know, the number one pick is going to have a great career versus the number two pick. There's the last time quarterbacks went 1-2 in the draft was 1999 when Tim Couch was taken by the Cleveland Browns and Donovan McNabb was taken number two by the Philadelphia Eagles. And, I don't think that was a black-white issue at the time. I think Couch was highly touted. But Couch didn't have the career that McNabb had, obviously. So in that situation, Couch was somewhat of a bust. He had a good season or two, I believe, before injuries took their toll. And McNabb had, a borderline Hall of Fame career. So really, if you're an organization, you want to take the best player that you can, regardless of color. And, we're not going to know the right answer until, a few years down the road, which was the better pick.
And I totally agree. And guys, obviously we know. Okay, number one pick goes to the Indianapolis Colts, Andrew Luck. Okay, that's great. That's no big secret. We've beat that horse to death. I want to look at some of the other teams. I want to look at what other teams are drafting. I want to look deeper into. I want to look into the war rooms of some of these teams. And I want to start with you, Ed, because you're right there on the front lines with the Philadelphia Eagles. Take us into the war room of the Philadelphia Eagles. What's going on there?
Well, they have the 15th pick overall, and they rarely sit tight with where they're picking. In the last couple of years, they've traded up, except last year. The two previous years, they jumped up to grab Jeremy Maclin in 09, and in 2010, it was Brandon Graham from Michigan that they jumped up to grab. The Eagles have not had a top 10 pick in the draft since 2000 when they took Corey Simon, who ended up with the Colts toward the later stage of his career. Things didn't work out for him there, but in Philly he was a good player. The point being is that the Eagles haven't had a top 10 pick because they've been successful through the decade. So I think that inside their war room, I think they're looking to maybe make a move up the draft board, try to possibly get into the top 10 or maybe the top 12 to land what they're looking for, which I believe is going to be a defensive tackle or defensive end. The defensive tackle is the deepest part, deepest position in this draft. We had a sit down with Howie Roseman, the Eagles general manager, on Thursday, and there's a lot of ambiguity between the number 3 pick and the number 10 pick. People just don't know who these teams are going to take. There's a lot of mock drafts out there that even now differ with a lot of these teams after Luck and Griffin go 1-2. So I think the Eagles will probably try to move up. I don't know where. If they can't move up to get their guy, I expect that they'll move down and maybe take someone down a little bit further. But I believe inside their war room they're thinking, we need pressure on the quarterback. We're going to go with a defensive tackle, and we're going to try to bolster our defense up the middle where it was weak last year.
Well, I kind of think that they'll pick up Quentin Coples there, a defensive end out of North Carolina. Just, again, my pick. But, hey,
well,
you know what?
Let me say something about that, Tom. That's not going to happen.
I can't get anything right this year. Everybody's hating on me.
I'm not hating on you. I'm just trying to give you a little inside information here, something that I learned in our meeting with Howie Roseman last week, some off-the-record stuff. He didn't come right out and say that they weren't going to take Quentin Coples, but by some of the things that he did say about him and his performance, it just seemed to me that they will not take Quentin Coples. I think they're looking more at a defensive tackle. They could even be looking at Courtney Upshaw from Alabama.
All right, guys, here's what I want to do. We got about 15 minutes here. Again, I want to look into some of these war rooms with some of these other teams. And we know 1-2, Colts will pick Luck. Obviously, one will think that the Redskins will pick Griffin III. So we move into the third pick, which is the Vikings. Real quickly, guys, I'm going to just kind of go through these teams. We'll get through as many of them as we possibly can, I promise you. But we do have a lot of teams, and there is a lot of discussion. Number 3 team, Minnesota Vikings, they need somebody. So I'm going to start here. We'll move around the table, and we'll go with Josh, then Evan, then back to Ed. Minnesota Vikings, number 3 overall pick. They need a blue-chip player, and they need a somebody that can really perform well on the offense. I really expect that they'll pick an offensive tackle, perhaps Matt Kell from USC. I think that would be a great pick, perfect fit. Josh, what are your thoughts on Minnesota?
I expect Miami to end up with the number 3 pick. In fact, I think they might have already acquired it. But either way, the number 3 pick will be Ryan Tannehill, quarterback out of Texas A&M.
Okay. Evan, what are your thoughts?
I think if the Vikings still have the pick, I definitely think it's Matt Kahlo. They definitely need some help on the line, and he'll provide it. He's going to be an impact guy from day one.
Yeah, I agree. I think they need to, if they don't trade it, and there is some strong talk that they will be trading it, they need a lot of spots filled. And I know that their owners come out and talked a lot about Morris Claiborne, too, so it wouldn't surprise me if they ended up taking a defensive back, Morris Claiborne, in that spot.
Yeah, and not where I had Morris Claiborne. I had him go in the next round with Cleveland. We're assuming that there's no trades, but we know that there will be some trading going on. So, again, we're just throwing some ideas out there. But I had Morris Claiborne being picked up. Obviously, cornerback from LSU, I had him being picked up by the Browns. And I think he's right up there as far as caliber blue chip players as Robert Griffin III, and I think he's certainly a top round pick, and I think the Browns need a guy like him. Josh?
There's no way Trey Richardson, running back from Alabama, gets past Cleveland if they just let go of Peyton Hillis, and they desperately need a running back.
Okay, Evan?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be Trent Richardson. The Browns need offensive help very badly, and they need him.
Well, Ed, who do you think the Browns are going to pick then?
Well, I think it's going to make – let's make it a clean sweep. I believe they're going to go with a running back, too, to help out Colt McCoy, you know, try to establish a run and take some of the pressure off Colt McCoy. I go Trent Richardson.
You're just following, like, right behind me because I had him in the number five going to Tampa Bay. I mean, and I got my list here. You didn't see my list. Somebody else saw my list. But I look for him. And, again, we're just throwing things out here. But as we know very well, my picks this year have gone to the crappers. So, you know, I'm probably wrong on everything that I say. But I had Trent Richardson going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, Joshua, what are your thoughts there?
I think they'll pick Courtney Upshaw from Alabama.
Evan, who do you think Tampa Bay will end up with then?
I think the Bucs take Claiborne. They're going to need some serious help. The corner spot with Aqib Talib, you know, he's in a whole bunch of legal troubles and Rondae Barber retiring.
All right, Ed, who does Tampa Bay end up with?
Well, I think they might go with Stephon Gilmore because I have Claiborne coming off the board at three with the Minnesota. So they're going to take the next best cornerback, and I believe that will be Stephon Gilmore out of South Carolina.
Well, now we look at a very interesting pick. We look at the number six pick, the St. Louis Rams, who traded with the Washington Redskins from the number two pick in that whole mix. So now they got, you know, they've got a king's ransom, for lack of better words. And I just, you look at, they need a wide receiver. And you look at a guy like Justin Blackham out of Oklahoma State or Oklahoma, one of those Oklahomas he played for. I think that the Rams have got to pick up a wide receiver, and I think Justin Blackman is really the guy for that. Josh?
Well, I've heard some reports the Colts might try to trade back into the top 10 for a second time to pick up Blackman, but if they're unsuccessful at doing that, then I think he'll end up in St. Louis.
Evan?
Rams got to get a receiver. They need Blackman.
All right. So far. Ed, don't rain on my parade, buddy.
Well, I agree with the wide receiver pick. I'm just not sure it's going to be Blackman. I know that there's a sentiment that Michael Floyd is moving up the draft board pretty quick here out of Notre Dame. And, you know, I'm the contrarian here, I think. And I think they're going to probably surprise some people. And if they're still picking at six, I think they're going to take Michael Floyd, and he'll be the first receiver off the board.
And that brings us to the number seven pick, which is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Obviously, they've got a new ownership. Possibly, they've got the possibility of in the near future of either moving or building a new stadium. So a lot going on there. But I just think that the Jacksonville Jaguars need a wide receiver or a defensive end. So, you know, I like Riley Reiff out of Iowa. I watched him, obviously a Big Ten fan. I think he's great. He's a big guy. He's an offensive tackle. I like him, and I think that if Jacksonville goes in that direction and someone other than a wide receiver, it would have to be Riley Reiff. So that's going to be my official pick for Jacksonville. Their first pick is Riley Reiff. Josh?
Michael Floyd.
Evan?
I think they need a receiver for Blaine Gabbert, so I'm going to go with Michael Floyd.
And Ed?
Well, I think they're going to go with the receiver as well, and I think it'll be Justin Blackman.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, nobody ever agrees with me, so that's fine.
Well, we got a few picks left here, Tom. Don't give up yet.
We do. Now, we talked about the Miami Dolphins trading up, but let's just say that they stay at the number eight pick. And to say that the offense has not gone as planned for the Dolphins, the offseason, I'm sorry, has not gone as planned for the Dolphins would certainly be an understatement. And Miami was, you know, basically shunned by Peyton Manning and Matt Flynn and was forced to settle for one David Gerrard, who wasn't even in the league last year. So who do they pick? You know, they got to have a quarterback. They got to have a franchise quarterback. They got to have a face of the franchise. They haven't had that since Dan Marino. That guy is Ryan Tannehill, quarterback, Texas A&M. Josh?
I fully expect them to move up to number three and take Tannehill, but if they can't get him at number three, and he's already gone by eight, here comes my upset, my shocker, my first-round spoiler. They're going to take Kellen Moore, quarterback out of Boise State.
Wow.
Okay. That is a bold pick.
Yes, it is.
Evan?
I think all signs point to Tannehill with this pick.
Okay, well, that moves us to the number nine pick, the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, they don't need a quarterback, but they do need a defensive tackle, and I think they do need some help on the defense. And, you know, in less than a year ago, the Panthers invested into two premium draft picks. You know, McClain was one of those. So I look for them to start looking on that defensive side of the ball. And there's just that great guy out of Mississippi State that I like a lot, Fletcher Cox, goes to the Carolina Panthers. Josh.
I agree. I think that's exactly who they'll pick.
Evan.
I got to agree, Fletcher Cox.
Ed.
Hey, we're all in agreement. Fletcher Cox
Woo!
It is.
For the first time.
All right.
All right. Now, I wish we had Pete on from Radio Speed Talk. com. He's a big Buffalo Bills fan, and he was kind of thinking that there would be a way to finagle RG3 for the Bills and they trade up, blah, blah, blah. That ain't going to happen. So knowing that, Buffalo's top priority this offseason was to upgrade their pass rush, and I think they're going to pick up themselves a Notre Dame Irish guy by the name of Michael Floyd. Yes, Michael Floyd goes to the Buffalo Bills. Josh.
I actually have no idea who Buffalo's going to pick. I think if Floyd's there, they'll pick him. I think Buffalo ends up trading down, and if the Colts are serious about trading back to the top, then this would be the spot.
Okay, Evan?
I think if by chance Floyd does fall this far, I think the Bills would take him. But if not, I think they need some help on their O-line. They're going to go with Riley Greece out of Iowa.
Ed.
Yeah, that's a real good pick. The Eagles just ended up signing their left tackle, Demetrius Bell, away from the Bills to compensate for the Achilles injury that Jason Peters suffered. They need help on the offensive line, and I think that's where they go. As much as they'd like to have a receiver, I think they end up with the offensive lineman, Riley Reiff.
And now here comes another pick, the number 11 pick, the Kansas City Chiefs, which is kind of where I thought Peyton Manning would end up at. Obviously, that was not the case. The Chiefs have spent, the last few years of having a nice core young talent in place, and they've still got a lot of work to do. I like what the Chiefs are doing, and they are building from their draft, which is what a team should do. I really don't think that a team should design their team around the quarterback. I don't follow that theory. I know a lot of people do, that you build your team around a quarterback. But they really are doing a good job of being able to build some great draft picks, and I don't think this year is going to be any different than that. I think they pick up Dontre Poe of Memphis. I think he's a great pick for them, and I think that he's going to be a perfect fit. Maybe they could do better with an inside linebacker, but I like Poe for the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh,
I'm going to reluctantly give Poe to the Chiefs, and originally I had Poe going to the Eagles.
Okay, Evan.
I can agree. I think Chiefs will pick up Poe with this pick.
Ed?
Well, they need help on the defense. And, I'm kind of torn between Mark Barron, the safety, and Luke Kuechly from Boston College. I'm going to go with the linebacker, and I'll give him Kuechly out of Boston College.
And then so now that brings us to the number 12 pick, the Seattle Seahawks. Disappointing season last year for them. They've got to get something going. There again, I think they've got to figure out something in that linebacker area, that middle linebacker area. You know, and Ed, you might know more about this because that's I know you know a lot about those type of positions. But I like Luke Kuechly. I'm probably saying his name wrong, from Boston College. He's a great middle linebacker. He's got some speed, and he's got a lot of strength. And I think that he is kind of guy that Seattle would want on the inside of there, and I think that just kind of gives them that little bit of mojo back that they need from last year. So, Josh, what are your thoughts?
I think they're going to take Mark Barron, who might be a lot of Bob Sanders.
That's a good idea. Evan?
I like the Seahawks taking Luke Kuechly with this pick. I think he'll be good for them.
And Ed?
Well, I have Kuechly off the board to pick earlier, but I also have another highly rated offensive or outside linebacker and defensive end in Ingram from South Carolina, who His first name's escaping me. Melvin Ingram from South Carolina. I have them taking him to fortify the 3-4 defense that they play.
Guys, we're down to about 90 seconds left in the show, so real quickly, I'm just going to go through my other picks. I know there's probably ones that maybe you guys had different, but I think the Cardinals are going to pick up Cordy Glenn from Georgia, offensive tackle there. I got the Cowboys picking up Mark Barron, safety from Alabama. Obviously, we talked about the Eagles. I had Quentin Coples. Ed says that's not the case. And then we've got the Jets, Courtney Opshaw with the Jets, and that's really all the enough time we have for picks. Guys, I have to be out of town next week, so we're going to figure out something about the show. But, Ed, it's draft week. Any final thoughts, and what are you going to be writing about this week, and how can people find your work?
Well, they can find my work on Twitter at KratzE. And I'm also online at phillyburbs.com. You can go through the links to find the Eagles coverage there. I think it's going to be a heck of a draft. I mean, just because there's so much uncertainty after those two quarterbacks go 1-2. I think for the Eagles, I think they're going to end up picking Michael Brockers out of LSU. If he's not available, I think they're going to trade back. But we'll see. I think it's going to be a fun time. There's going to be some trades. You can count on that. I think you're going to see some teams moving up and down the board.
All right, guys, that's going to do it. Evan Williams, real quickly, blogger from Purdue University, Bleeding Gold and Black. Where can people find your work as well?
You can follow me on Twitter at Evan_Williams25, and then you can find my written work on Indy Pro Sports and my blog, Bleeding Gold and Black, blogspot.com.
All right, guys, well, that's going to do it. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
We're gonna figure out what's going on next week, guys, and possibly we'll have Evan back here in the chair. He's not been officially asked yet, but we will have somebody here in the chair in my place next week, as I have to be out of town again next weekend. But after next weekend, things should slow down for us a little bit. Hey, Minions, thanks for joining us. My name's El Presidente, John Marquis. Get out to the ballpark, check out your AAA teams, and make sure you're a part of your NFL team's draft. Guys, we'll see you. Have a great week. And remember, don't drink and drive. It ain't cool.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Well, bravo!
More!
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 Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.